Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. And Mac, I really can't believe this, but it is time to wrap up the ACC basketball season. It feels like we just started doing basketball shows. And the bottom line here, Eric McLean, is that we made it through. I think that is the biggest blessing of it all. We made it. We had a pretty successful season overall, and we had a lot of fun watching it. So that is good news.
It is, Kelly. This is a very sad time for us ACC basketball just fans. You know, there was a little bit of a scare there in the ACC tournament on the men's side that, oh no, it's all happening again. And then we got out of that. We got to the NCAA tournament, and it was kind of a lackluster performance. Luckily, the women on the women's side, you know, boosted us up a little bit. You know, we had some teams in the Elite Eight. We'll dive into that a little bit more and really just break down this whole season, because that's what we're going to do this episode is, you know, kind of give a ACC basketball review on the men's and women's side. So you guys just tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into that, can I just tell you about our great friends over at Traeger? Guys, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. And this past weekend, I told you guys about it a week ago. We got after it on the Traeger. 3 racks of ribs one night. And then the very next night, we did 50-plus buffalo voodoo wings with my very own recipe. I know you guys saw it on my Instagram, my Twitter, and I promise it tasted even better than it looked, which is probably saying a lot. Come on, KG.
How is that possible? Because it looked so good.
I don't know. you'll experience it one day. We'll get you up here. Now basketball's over. You got a lot more free time, so we'll get you up here. But the reason that that stuff tastes so good is because of that wood pellet flavor. It's not gas. It's not charcoal. And that's the beauty of Traeger Grill. It's so versatile. It has that 6-in-1 versatility. That's how I can go low and slow smoking ribs, or I can crank it right up and grill some wings. I promise you guys, you'll thank me later. Go to TraegerGrills.com/ACC to find your local Traeger dealer today.
Mac, you are making a lot of people hungry, which is really what you do on your social media all the time, posting right. All of what you're cooking, the ribs, the chicken wings. The wings looked really good. I'm interested that you have your own personal recipe here. This is where I think the Eric McLean Grill Cookbook, the Grill Book, needs to be on our shelves pretty soon. I think, you know.
That's right.
If you are a book person, if you're a publisher listening, let's talk to Eric McLean. Let's get this thing going.
That's right. Come on. Yeah, that's why KG is not only my co-host, but my agent, my PR lady. She knocks it all out. But Kelly, let's jump straight into this. Let's start on the women's side, because honestly, that's the side that's really worth talking about when it's all said and done. Let's kind of give overall grades to start, and then maybe quickly discuss the 8 NCAA tournament teams that the ACC had.
Yes. So we're going to give a little preview for next year as well and just talk about teams that I thought overachieved, underachieved. But ACC women's hoops in general this year, I give them a B+. I thought it was overall a very solid season. You know, you didn't have a team in the Final Four, and coming into this year, the ACC had had 8 teams in the Final Four in the last 7 years. So it's kind of an expectation to get an ACC team in the Final Four. If you don't, then people are wondering what's wrong, because that's just where the ACC is right now. And with Louisville's loss last night, the ACC is not going to have a team in the Final Four. The women's Final Four is set with Stanford, South Carolina, UConn, and Arizona. So that's going to be the Final Four. The Baylor-UConn game was fire, by the way. That should have been a Final Four game. But Louisville lost to Stanford last night. And I think what ended up happening is Louisville's lack of size showed itself again. And that's been an issue for them all year. They play a 4-guard lineup. And it's just really tough to play Stanford with a 4-guard lineup. Stanford's also really good, so keep an eye on Stanford. I think we're going to get a Stanford-UConn national title, and I think that could go either way. But 8 NCAA tournament teams here in the ACC: NC State, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Florida State, North Carolina, Wake Forest. Overall, very solid. You get 8 teams in. That's tied for the record. The ACC's never had 9 in. 8 was the most of any league, tied for the most. So that's great. You know, that's a positive. Now, The issue, though, with the eight tournament teams is that beyond Georgia Tech, beyond the top three seeds, you had a lot of 8, 9, and 10 seeds. So even if you won your first game, you were going to play a one or a two. And all of those teams that were 8, 9, or 10 seeds, and even Virginia Tech as a seven, they lost their second games. Didn't make the Sweet 16. Georgia Tech overachieved. I thought Georgia Tech had a great tournament, and they pushed South Carolina. They've played South Carolina better than anyone in the NCAA tournament. Louisville, I thought, pretty much overachieved. I mean, leading Stanford at half, almost getting to a Final Four. This was a team that I had in the Final Four, but Elite Eight was what, you know, is expected if you're a two seed. You're supposed to make the Elite Eight and then see what happens. The biggest, I think, underwhelming team in the NCAA tournament, Mac, was NC State. That was really disappointing to see them lose so early. Kayla Jones' injury, that's definitely a factor, but the ACC ended up with three Sweet 16 teams. Pretty solid. That's why I gave them a B+, but I don't think it was an A-type season when you look at the history of the ACC.
I agree with you, and I think it was actually really interesting with NC State and the fact that probably the most tested team, a team that had two wins over number ones that you thought, man, they're tournament ready. I mean, they're going to cruise through this thing, and then to lose the way they did, I think the injury had a big part to do with it and kind of messed with some chemistry, putting some people who are used to coming off the bench and kind of being that, you know, second unit, kind of that second win. Now, okay, you got to run with the ones, and who's going to now fill that void when the twos come in? So, you know, I think a little bit of disappointment for NC State. I think that, you know, when you're looking at next year, that's another team that, man, you've got to be excited for them and thinking of what they all have come back. But let's move along a little bit, Kelly, to, you know, kind of just looking at the entire season and teams that overachieved, teams that underachieved, and maybe even going into next season, teams that, you know, really need to pick it up and really improve.
Yeah, so those are my three categories here on the women's side, and we're going to do it for the men's as well. With NC State, Mac, I do want to say, you know, one thing that I've noticed with NC State, Louisville, even Georgia Tech a little bit, the ACC's three best teams, there wasn't a lot of depth. So for NC State, you know, you lose Kayla Jones and it's really hurting you because you really only play six or seven players. Same thing with Georgia Tech. Louisville had a little more depth, but their depth didn't really show up at times. So I think increasing that depth on your roster is going to be something that's really important because you play a team like Stanford who goes 11 deep, who you've got old girl coming off the bench, Ashton Prechtel, who's putting up 16, doesn't miss a shot, 6'5", bombing threes. There's a depth element there that Stanford has, that South Carolina has, UConn a little bit, that NC State and Louisville did not have this year. So that's something I'm keeping my eye on for next season. Teams that overachieve, Mac. Here are my teams that overachieved. Georgia Tech, for sure. Georgia Tech was picked, I believe, you know, down near 8th, 9th by the media. Nell Fortner's doing an awesome job. That program is here to stay. And I'll just add these announcements in as we go, Mac. Lorella Kubai and Kiera Fletcher are returning for Georgia Tech. So they're bringing back everyone. These super seniors are coming back. With the COVID rule, you can come back. You get that extra year. And you can transfer without penalty. So we're seeing some of that happening. And Mac, you're a guy who played 5 years. So you know the fifth year life when you're basically a grandpa on the team and you're a super senior. So these players are choosing to do that.
Wonders for you. Yeah. I mean, it's you're so much smarter. You've obviously been in the system. I am excited to see it with basketball. And you don't really, in this world, you don't really have a lot of fifth year people. Folks just don't redshirt the same unless it's, you know, medical. So now all these folks taking advantage of this, I mean, we could have some really solid basketball. You talk about fundamentally sound. We talk about there's been years where it's just sloppy and there's just so many new people, young people. This next, you know, 2-3 years where we see the results of this, it could be really, really good college basketball. I will say one thing that you mentioned with the transferring with no penalty. We thought it was going to be crazy on the football side.
Yep.
It is going to be bonkers with basketball. I mean, people are just leaving like crazy. I think Syracuse, maybe it's maybe the men's side or the women, they have like seven people who are saying that
Syracuse women, the last tweet
I
saw,
the women. Yeah.
They're up to 10 players in the portal.
And listen, you can come back, guys. You can go in the portal and you can come back if your coach allows you.
Right.
But it's like that, how do you replace? You can't recruit that. Like, what are you going to do? So you go in the portal yourself, mm-hmm. and you're going to find these players. So it's going to be very interesting. We're going to have some just crazy roster shakeups, and honestly, it's going to be nearly impossible to keep up with until we get closer to the season. Say, okay, who's here? You know, who's on this team and going to be playing? But with all that said, please continue with your overachieving teams.
I'm going to start calling these super seniors, these Eric McLean seniors, super seniors, which, you know, Mac ended up being all ACC as a super senior. A little humble brag there. Get that in for the people. Okay, teams that overachieved, Georgia Tech for sure on the women's side, Virginia Tech. There were not a lot of expectations for Virginia Tech. I thought Liz Kittley took that next step. Georgia Amore was great. And big news for Virginia Tech, Asia Shepherd, third leading scorer in the ACC, is coming back for her super senior season. She is so impressive. We had her on all ACC last night. She's just awesome. So very excited for her. Wake Forest definitely overachieved, making their first tournament since 1988. Great for Wake. Now, Mac, Gina Conti is transferring. That shocked me. That absolutely shocked me. So she's a grad transfer. She's going to go somewhere else. And Ivana Raza is moving on to go play pro overseas. So I'm worried about Wake next year, but they overachieved this year. North Carolina overachieved. There were not a lot of expectations just because they had so many freshmen making the tournament and beating NC State. I think they overachieved. And then I put Florida State in here because Sue Semrau was out. You had an interim head coach in Brooke Wyckoff, and you make the tournament and you beat Louisville. I think they overachieved. Brooke Wyckoff, an alum of the Graham Lincoln McLean pod.
And she, that's right. And she, on the podcast, she said, look, you know, you never go into a season saying, man, I don't think we're going to do great. But she just didn't know. You know, she didn't know with, you know, all that they lost, how the players, the athletes were going to respond to her being the head coach. And she said that right here, that we had no expectations. And so I think it's more than fair to have them as overachieving in this year, that, you know, there probably was very little expectation from Florida State this year.
Definitely. And Sue Semrau announced that she is returning as head coach effective April 1st, tomorrow. And Brooke will become the associate head coach again. So we'll see how that all works out. I'm excited to see Coach Sue back. Sue is just a legend. And then I also had Miami overachieving. If you've listened to the pod, you know Katie Meyer, the Miami head coach, is one of my favorite coaches in the entire league. I love her. She's awesome. And Mykia Gray, their point guard, who is going to be the leading scorer, tore her ACL in practice, and they still won 8 ACC games and were in the bubble discussion towards the end of the year. I think that's really impressive. So I think Miami overachieved. Time for the teams that underachieved, Mac. I'm going to be a little hard on some squads, but you know what? We speak the truth here, okay? Teams that underachieved for me. NC State, great regular season. You win the ACC tournament in exciting fashion. That game was awesome. But you only make the Sweet 16. That's tough. I've got to put you in underachieved. And I've Syracuse in here. Syracuse is a team that had so much talent, just couldn't put it together. They also had some injuries, but I put them underachieved. I thought Clemson underachieved in a season where, you know, Coach Butler's trying to build them back to the NCAA tournament. They were on the bubble the whole year. Then they don't win a single game in February. That was brutal. And they had a couple games that were so winnable. Up 9 at Georgia Tech with 3 minutes to go. I know that game, Coach Butler's still probably agonizing herself over that game. But I just have higher expectations for Clemson. So I think they underachieved. Notre Dame is a program that even when they're rebuilding should be able to make the tournament. And they got very close. You know, they lost to Clemson in the ACC tournament. If they win that game, they're probably in. They had a lot of injuries too. I think Neil Ivey's going to do a great job there. But just in general, you know, Notre Dame needs to be in the tournament. And then Boston College, Coach Mack at BC is one of the best coaches in the league. They still had Taylor Soule. Now, they had injuries. There was a time where they were down to like 6 players. But I thought BC should have been a little better. And I think Coach Mack would have told you that too. So I'm expecting some good things from BC next year. And then, Mac, I put Louisville in here. And I was wondering how you thought about that because, you know, I think Louisville, they were number one in the country at one point. You basically, you know, Final Four is kind of the expectation at Louisville these days. You don't make it to the Final Four. You do make the Elite Eight, which is a great season. But I thought that, you know, Dana Evans was excellent the whole year. You didn't have a few other pieces step up when you really needed it. So I put Louisville underachieved. Is that being too hard on the Cardinals, Mac?
You know, I think there's a very fine line between underachieving and a failure of a season. And that's not what this is. Did they underachieve?
No, not at all.
Did they have a failure of a season? No. And so
I
think when you get to that point and you get to this pinnacle, like, you know, Clemson is in football, like Alabama is in football, if they don't make the college football playoff, if they're not in the national championship, everybody's going to say they underachieve. So that's exactly where NC State and Louisville are right now in women's basketball, is if you don't make X certain point, which I think is kind of the final four.
It's the final four, yeah.
Then you underachieved. And it's not necessarily a negative, it's just a fact. And it's just where expectation is. It's your own fault for being that great time and time again,
right,
that, you know, these expectations are placed on you. So a fantastic year, just not the finish. And so, unfortunately, Louisville, Kelly, I agree, belongs in the underachieved kind of category here.
And yes, the word failure is not going to be used at all, because the fact that all these teams made it through and pushed through and had to COVID test every day and do all this stuff, that every team that made it through had a successful year, no doubt about it. And then my teams that need to improve, you know, Pittsburgh is in there. I think Pittsburgh did some good things this year. They're returning pretty much everyone, so they should get better. And Dashnet Harris got hurt towards the end of the season. And then, of course, Virginia and Duke didn't play, so I don't really know what category to put them in, but we hope that we'll see them back next year and be a league full of 15 teams, which is, you know, more fun. So I'm glad to see those teams coming back. Excited to see what Kara Lawson can do at Duke. And then, Mac, the teams I'm keeping my eye on next year, I'm very excited about this.
See, but this is kind of hard to do because we don't necessarily know who's coming back right now.
I know,
and you have
I know.
This free agency. So I was actually looking at your list as we prepare for the show, and I'm just like, man, if they can bring everybody back, then I completely agree. I mean, I think these teams are going to be unbelievable, but it's hard to know, especially when we get to the men's side. I think this is a very hard list to make and come up with.
So we do know for Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, those were two easy ones to put on there, because we know with Virginia Tech, Amore, Kitley, Shepherd, all coming back. Like Virginia Tech, to me, their expectation, their goal should be Sweet 16. Nothing less than that. And then see what happens. I think they're going to be really good. And Georgia Tech.
How about in the ACC? Do you think championship game? Do you think winning it?
Oh, man. Well, again, that kind of depends who comes back for NC State and Louisville. We know Dana Evans is going on to the WNBA draft, so she's gone. I think the expectation for Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech's also on my list here because they're returning Kubai and Fletcher, is top four in the ACC, double bye. I think that should be their goal. And yeah, Sweet 16 comes after that, but first and foremost, double bye in the ACC tournament, because if you give yourself a double bye, you give yourself a chance to win the tournament. Anything can happen in the tournament, but double bye should be the goal for both those teams. And then I'm also keeping my eye on Florida State, who returns everyone, and Sue Simrau. I think they can do some really fun things. North Carolina, we'll see. I think, you know, Stephanie Watts is a sixth-year player, so does she come back for year seven? I don't know. I know Janelle Bailey's moving on, but they have a lot of talented freshmen, and I really like Courtney Banghart. And then NC State, you know, I have high expectations from NC State for next year. You bring back Kinane, second-team All-American. The only player that may be moving on, well, to Kayla Jones and Kai Crutchfield, we'll see what they decide, but you still bring back Kinane, Raina Perez, Jada Boyd, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, like, you should be good. So I'm very excited for all those teams. And, of course, keep my eye on Louisville as well. We'll see what they do, perhaps, in the transfer portal and what they're bringing in some great freshmen. HVL taking that next step. I would imagine HVL is going to play the point, so that's going to be fun. So those are teams that I'm really excited to watch next season.
I got to tell you, out of all those teams, the team that, and maybe this is even a 2, 3, 4, 5 year type deal where I'm keeping my eye on these guys heavily, is North Carolina and Courtney Banghart, the vision that she has, the expectation that she is going to be putting on these girls. When we had her on the podcast, I mean, just the awareness of the brand and the I don't know, just where UNC should be. I mean, you don't really hear coaches kind of challenge themselves and their programs quite like that and say, you know, North Carolina is good for all of basketball. It's not just good for the ACC. It's not just good for this or that. It's good for basketball. And for her to acknowledge that and to, we know what the standard is. And so I think that that's something that when you can have that vision and that collective belief, I think that's a big thing. So UNC is definitely a team that I'm like, okay, let's go get the players and let's figure this thing out. And you're talking about a transfer portal era where you can have instant dynamic scorers, mm-hmm. players, leaders right away. I mean, I don't know what her, you know, kind of, you know, ideology is on the transfer portal, but she can make some noise really quickly.
Oh, she's down for it.
There you go. So I'm very interested to see what UNC can put together in the next couple of years. Kelly, let's move on to the men's side. This is where the podcast gets very sad and depressing. You had overall, I think you had a C+, maybe. Is that what you had for the men's side?
C+. Overall,
I'm
going to
go
grade.
Ahead and rip that plus off. And I'm throwing
I
a
knew
big
you would
minus.
Back.
And maybe even, I might even drop a letter grade, but I'll stick with a C-. But go ahead and tell us kind of your overall grade, your reasoning, and maybe a little bit about these tournament teams before we deep dive too much.
Well, you still got 7 teams in, and that's pretty solid because this was a league in the COVID year that we thought was only going to get 4 teams in and maybe 5. So you got 7 teams in, and I think that is very solid. So that's where the plus comes from probably, but the C overall, 2 Sweet 16 teams, that's it. No one in the Elite Eight, no one in the Final Four. I mean, that's the ACC expects way more. Just a couple years ago, the year before the COVID year, so that must have been 18-19, the ACC had 3 number one seeds. So this has been a very interesting drop.
A little bit different
yes.
year.
So I would say disappointing, Mac, especially in March. A lot of inconsistency from your top teams. Duke, of course, nowhere to be found. Louisville didn't make the tournament. North Carolina snuck in there. Virginia was only a 4 seed. Florida State was very inconsistent, even though really fun to watch. You know, Clemson, I thought, had a solid year for sure. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, those are your tournament teams. So disappointing overall, C+. But look, still a lot of room to grow, Mac. A lot of room to move up.
That's right. I think the biggest, you know, quarrel that I have is just the inconsistencies. The fact that we can see Florida State one game going up and down the floor, looking like the Showtime Lakers, scoring 100-plus points. The next game, can't make a 3, can't shoot the ball to save their lives or can't play any type of defense. We see a Duke team that, you know, just was getting better. And then it's just like, forget how to play basketball. A Clemson team that was ranked, you know, top 5 in the country or top 10 in the country and then, you know, seemingly forgets to play basketball. And so it's just, it was such a strange year where consistency was at an all-time high and we just did not have it in this conference. And I think it's a shame, obviously, because the expectations, the fact that what you just said, 3 number one seeds in the tournament, guys. I mean, this is...
Just a couple years ago.
This is the basketball league of, you know, the world. I mean, this is where it is. And so,
the world.
Yeah, I think there is big time push next year to get back, to figure it out, to, you know, and there's a ton of reasons, right? This isn't a normal year. And especially in a league where very highly talented players come that, you know, take some time to learn, they did not have that opportunity. Guys who live in the basketball, who live in the gym and live to play as much as they can, did not get that opportunity. Had to sit by themselves in their, you know, 800 square foot apartment with 4 other dudes, 2 other dudes. That's all they could do. So I'm not giving excuses. Everybody had to do it. But I do think that the ACC, it just seemed like got hit so much harder this year than any other league on the men's side. So that's why I'm giving the C-. It was, you know, just, it was tough to watch at times. But let's move on, Kelly. I could talk about this for 2 hours. Let's talk about teams that overachieve, because this is a very, very small list, and I think rightfully so.
So I have Georgia Tech. You know, I think Georgia Tech definitely overachieved. ACC Player of the Year, won the ACC tournament. Let's go, Georgia Tech. Now, they still lost in the first round.
Without their best player, I would have loved to have seen Moses Wright.
Yes.
And that's kind of, Georgia Tech to me was the biggest, like, what if kind of team. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's super disappointing. It's sad for those guys, but no doubt did not finish the job and get out of the first round.
Especially with how Illinois couldn't guard Krutwig. Like, they wouldn't have been able to guard Moses Wright either. And you're going up against Sister Jean, so you don't have your best player and you're going up against God. It's really tough. So Georgia Tech definitely overachieved. Clemson overachieved. I thought Clemson definitely overachieved to be the third highest seed in the ACC, in the NCAA tournament from the ACC, to be ranked throughout the year. I know there were some inconsistencies, but there weren't a lot of expectations for this team, and I thought Clemson overachieved. Would you agree with that, Mac?
No, 100%. I think another year where it's hard to know what to expect, right? When you have so many guys, you know, leaving, moving on, and then you kind of know what you're going to get from a guy like Amir Sims, but who else is going to step up? And, of course, that was another problem at times with inconsistencies and you know, defense playing really well, but then offense just stagnant and, you know, not knowing what it's going to do. But to see what the Tigers were able to do, the fact that they made the tournament, it's something that, you know, doesn't happen often to Clemson, and that anytime that team's in the tournament, I think is a big deal.
I agree. And then the other teams that I have as overachieved, I put question marks because I'm not sure. Syracuse, you underachieved the whole regular season, basically, but then you made the Sweet 16. So I don't know what to do with them. I guess I'd put them in overachieved.
It's all about strategy. I think it's what's important to you. And if it's that, if that's the tournament, which that seems to be Jim Boeheim's entire, you know, career, then yeah, I think you overachieved. I think a double-digit seed making it to the Sweet 16 and, mm-hmm. you know, balling out the way they did, I think that's certainly fair. But you look at the whole season, it's just like, man, what is going on with these guys? But again, it just speaks to the challenges and difficulties of the season.
And then Florida State was tough because Florida State made the Sweet 16. They lost so many players from last year, so many great players that, you know, people didn't have as high expectations, and they still were a four seed, made the Sweet 16, but they blew the last week of the year. They should have beat Notre Dame and won the regular season. So I don't know. I guess I'd kind of put them in a limbo area, Mac. What do you think about FSU?
Do we just put them in the category where we don't even talk about them and we just move on? They don't overachieve.
Yeah.
They don't underachieve. You know, I would actually go ahead and say a little bit of underachieved. You know, I think, again, okay. Similar to not maybe quite the same category as, you know, when we're talking about Louisville and NC State on the women's side yet, but it is kind of
right.
Reaching that to where, you know, we expect them to, you know, win the ACC. We expect them to, you know, make noise in the tournament. And I just, you know, I just don't think that was the case. So it's hard to say any team that, you know, made a Sweet 16 run, you know, underachieved, but I think that's kind of where we are with this program as well.
I agree. It's a tough one to grade. Okay. Teams that underachieve, Mac, are you ready?
This is a long list, Kelly. I don't know if you want to dive into each one of them. You might lose your voice. But yeah, I'm ready for this list.
I think we'll all agree. Duke. Yes, obviously. North Carolina, yeah, I still think they underachieved because they had so much talent on that roster. They made the tournament, but they lost in the first round. I think everyone would have pretty much agreed Duke and North Carolina underachieved. And I put Virginia in there. Virginia had a lot of talent, and they lost their first round game again. And I just don't know what is this trend, if it's going to keep happening. But even though, and the COVID pause was brutal, I know, and I don't know the ins and outs of how much they, you know, they had to deal with that and how much they didn't have to practice and all this stuff, but I still feel like you should probably beat Ohio. So Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, the higher-ups in the league, underachieved. And then I thought Louisville underachieved too. You know, this is a Louisville team. They should have made the tournament. And some of that, Louisville fans are like, well, talk to the committee, you know, because we should have made it. But the fact that you struggled to finish down the stretch after a brutal COVID pause, I get it, brutal, I still would put Louisville as underachieving. I also have NC State in there, Mac. NC State had injuries, so I feel bad putting them there, but I thought that, you know, without the injuries, they would have been a tournament team, but the injuries did happen. Notre Dame, you know, this is a Notre Dame team that we know can score, and they had some great moments, but they were just super inconsistent. And then Virginia Tech, the reason I put Virginia Tech in here, they had a great regular season. They finished top four. No one really thought they would do that. But then you go to the tournament and you're one and done. And they should have beaten Florida. So this is a Virginia Tech team, especially because Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. This is a team that had every chance to make the Sweet 16. I did think it was overall a great season for Virginia Tech. So I don't want to take away from that. But I think because you had such a good chance to go far in the tournament and you didn't, that's why I put them in that category. Any issues with those?
No, you know, I think you're spot on. And it's a tough thing, again, with this year and, you know, what do we think when you talk about that failure versus underachieved? I don't think any of these teams may be going to that failure boat, but certainly, you know, I think the underachieved is rampant. And you know, I think Virginia Tech is fair. I think, you know, a team that we had great aspirations to make some noise in this tournament and to really, you know, be able to handle Florida. And they just couldn't. They weren't able to. And whether that was because of the pause, if it was because of not being able to practice, same thing with Virginia. I mean, we don't even know to this day, when were they able to practice? I mean, was it the day before the game? And so it's a tough thing. It's a tough situation. I am excited to move on to the 2021-22 season where we no longer have to, you know, hopefully, knock on wood. I mean, my gosh, I feel bad even saying that, that we don't have to worry about these pauses or anything like that.
Yes, that let's throw that up and let's hope that we get there. So teams that really need to improve, I think we all kind of understand this, and the programs probably would say it too. Pittsburgh, Boston College, Wake Forest, Miami. All of those programs are kind of in limbo right now. Wake Forest going into year two of Steve Forbes. They had some good signs this year. Boston College hired Earl Grant, so he's going to be
actually very
running.
Excited for that. I think that's going to be a great hire for Boston College.
We both know Coach Grant from Clemson. Great guy. So we'll see what he can do up at BC. And then, you know, Miami is a team that made a little run in the ACC tournament, but had a really tough regular season. So many injuries, players transferring left and right. I'm not even sure what's happening at Miami. So I think they have a long way to go. And then Pittsburgh, good grief, Mac. I mean, everyone's leaving. I don't know what to make of Pitt. So they're going to have to probably do some work in the portal, but those four teams are just kind of in my need to improve category.
Yeah, I think Pitt is a very interesting one because you had this, you know, core nucleus of like three really big time recruits, and they're all gone now. They're all have transferred, and you know, guys that I thought were going to really open some crazy doors for Pitt, for what, you know, coach has done up there in a small amount of time has been impressive. But now it's kind of like, okay, we need results to go along with it. We need wins to kind of accompany this, you know, great stigma and belief that we have behind, you know, Coach Capel there. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Pitt moving forward. How about teams you're keeping your eye on for next year, Kelly? Because this one, I have a couple of teams that maybe it's a little bit of a negative thing that I'm keeping my eye on them to see what can really happen.
Okay, well, I looked at this more from a positive standpoint. So, well, positive and just I'm intrigued, you know, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to look like? Positive side, Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech is going to be really good next year. They're bringing back pretty much everyone. They're bringing in Storm Murphy from Wofford. I called a Wofford game this year. Storm Murphy is a player. So I'm excited for this team. And then another year of Keveh Aluma. I can't wait. I'm excited to see what North Carolina does. I know they lost, and you might be a little more down on them, but you know, you lose Walker Kessler, you lose De'Ron Sharp, but you're bringing back those young guards. We think at this point you're bringing back Brooks, Baycott. So I think North Carolina will be able to make some noise next year. Florida State, always keeping my eye on Florida State. They're going to lose MJ Walker, but I don't really think they lose anyone else. And Scotty Barnes is a TBD. We'll see what Scotty Barnes does.
Sure. He'll be out of there.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll be a top, I mean, 5-10 pick. Absolutely. We'll see, though. Maybe they keep him around.
We'll see. That'd be really cool to see. But of course, you know, if he has that great opportunity at the NBA, go for it. And then Duke. Duke is a team, you know, we're always keeping our eye on Duke, but I haven't heard anything about Hurt leaving or anything like that, and he shouldn't. So you bring back Matthew Hurt, you bring back those young guards, you bring back Mark Williams, who was playing great basketball down the stretch, you bring in some good recruits. I think Duke could be back on track next year, Max. So those are the teams that I'm really excited to watch: Virginia Tech, Florida State, North Carolina, and Duke.
So two teams that I have a concerned eye looking at for next year is Virginia and Clemson. You know, I think it's something that Clemson is going to be losing a lot. You saw the transfer portal. Obviously, Amir Sims, your Mr. Do-It-All, is gone. And I'm looking at kind of what's left, and it's, I don't know. When I saw those guys out on the floor together, it was not good for Clemson. Now, of course, guys are going to grow. They're going to get bigger, faster, stronger. I assume Clemson's going to go in the transfer portal and find some guys to come in and, you know, help them right away. But same thing for Virginia. And I think with Virginia, it's a thing of, you know, not being able to fully instill our defense, not have the training camps, the off season to do so. But just it just wasn't the same team. And maybe I'm thinking way too much into it, but we need to see kind of that key lockup defender emerge. And I don't have any clue of who that is going to be, you know, going into next year. So those are two teams that, you know, this off season, this preseason, I'm going to really be locked into and see what moves they make in the portal.
I agree. But overall, Mac, this was a fun recap episode and it was a fun season. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I know we talked about some teams that overachieved or underachieved and overachieved, but the fact that we made it through with COVID pauses and testing and just what these student athletes did to persevere through a brutal season that, you know, you didn't really have an outlet. You weren't able to do much besides basketball. So I know it was tough. So we salute the student athletes and the coaches and their sacrifices. And I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun working this basketball season, watching it. It was great. We made it through. That's all that matters. And we'll be looking forward to next season.
There's no question about it, Kelly. We on this podcast will now be moving into kind of a off-season version. You guys are going to want to stick around. We've got some awesome guests. And we threw out this hint. Just think of the Masters 2008 for next week. You'll see it on social media. We'll announce it. We're still going to keep it a little bit as a surprise for now. But guys, you know our guy, Richmond Weaver. You've got to check him out. Our producer does so much for us, this podcast. Without him, Kelly, I don't know where we'd be. We'd be wandering in the woods somewhere trying to figure it out. You guys need to go check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports. Again, I've told you this time and time again, if there's a story, if there's an athlete, if there's a person that you want to hear more about, I guarantee Rich has interviewed him. You need to go check it out. There's so many great guests. Kelly and I have actually been on that podcast as well. So if you want to, you know, just really flood those episodes with the listenership, you'd really be doing us a favor. But go check out his podcast anywhere you get your pods. That's Rich Take on Sports. But that's it, guys, for this episode and for basketball season. For Gramlich and Mac Lane, brought to you by our friends over at Traeger Grills. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little rating, a little review. It's always fun to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.